Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Welcome, folks. Welcome to everybody, Rocket Nation. Guess who's back? Thank you guys for tuning in to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. As usual, it's your boy, Rocket, the Thundercracker, back after a month of being away from being on air due to other commitments and just having a busy and rocky schedule. Thank you for supporting him. Thank you for staying by him through everything that he's been through, everything that he's been doing, all of his recent accomplishments. He is back on air tonight for the first time in a month, and It feels great to be back on air. There's been so many crazy things going on in sports right now, and I felt like I had to be back on air to share these things with you. Scores, news, updates, everything that's going on right now, roster moves, you name it. We're going to get through as much of it tonight as we possibly can. And this will be a cruise. This is going to be a different show compared to what I've done so far up to this point. As usual, I will have a specific main event topic to share with the public out there. This time, I'm just going to do things differently. I'm going to keep it much different. I'm going to have a worldwide sports-oriented show instead of having certain topics every single week, because sometimes people get bored by that. So I figure, well, because of everything that's going on right now, we need to get through this the best way possible, and this is the perfect time to do it. So I'm here. Hopefully you are too. Let's have some fun. This is exactly what I've been waiting to do after so long. And again, thank you. Thank you guys for your support. Thank you guys for your encouragement. I want to take this opportunity and send a shout-out to my man, Carlos Carter, a.k.a. Coon. Man, I'm so happy for you, dude. I see you're doing big things, and I told you I was going to give you a shout-out. Thank you for allowing me to post my show link on your group page on Facebook, C-Boogie Entertainment. Join the group. There's always a lot of different things going on related to jokes and jams, one of Carlos's natural events that he has going on just about weekly to monthly, pretty annual. He's doing big things. I want to say congratulations to the cast and crew of the stage play A Different Shade of Blue. I was part of it a little bit from the last show. Basically, I took part in the early rehearsals, and I decided to drop out. A lot of people don't know. A lot of people didn't even know that I was really in it, at least during the rehearsals anyway. I dropped out of the show because my work schedule started to get heavy, and I got to the point where basically I'm kind of moving away from theater. I'm not doing theater productions much nowadays. Filming is where my heart is. So anything related to filming, that's where I'm at right now, and I really have been trying to escape theater for a while. Nothing against nobody. I just don't have the timing or the commitment to the rehearsals. But I want to say anyway to Jennifer Blue, to Carol Towns, to everybody who's a part of the production, great job. Great job, all of you, and I was in spirit to have checked it out, so you guys knocked them dead. I want to send a shout-out to my big brother, Giles Key, for the completion of The Goblin Lady. We finally have finished. It's in the books officially. The film will be out 2013. I'm not going to say what day it is exactly, but I promise you it will be coming out in early 2013. You all got to brace yourselves for this one, because rest assured, this is it. This is it. It's going to be fun. And I can't wait to see how the film itself looks, how the actors looked, and how everybody went and did their thing. So, again, I'm happy for everybody who took part in the production, including myself. We had a ton of great individuals who took part in the final battle scene, so I want to say big ups to those guys and females as well. You guys continue to keep doing what you do. You're going to go a long way, and I cannot be more happy for any of you. I am, like I said, I'm happy to be back. I would like to take this opportunity to say to all of the citizens along the East Coast, mainly in New York, the entire state of New York, my prayers and blessings go out with you during these times. As you all know, past couple of days, maybe 2 or 3 days, the state has suffered a ridiculous storm, which passed through rapidly, and before you know it, it was there. It kind of had a feel of the movie The Day After Tomorrow that came out back in 2004. I remember watching that movie, and the storm reminded me so much of that film, minus the freezing snow and the ice after the hurricane / flood had passed through. It was very dangerous. It was very scary. It It still is today, but I hope that everybody is okay. Again, prayers go out to everyone who was part of that situation, and it's unfortunate. As you know, the Knicks and the New York Knicks and the now Brooklyn Nets, the game has been canceled for tonight, so there will be no game taking place, no basketball game taking place in the state of New York, at least tonight anyway. Now, the Knicks are supposed to host the Miami Heat tomorrow evening. There's no report of whether or not that game is going to take place. They might postpone that game, too. It's a strong possibility. So that's also another thing that you got to take into consideration. I want to say real quickly, I don't really care much for this specific day, but I want to say anyway, happy Halloween to everybody out there. To all you trick-or-treaters, strap yourselves up, protect yourselves at all costs, be safe. Have a great time, but play it smooth. Be safe, have fun, enjoy yourself, and just take it easy. Hope you guys have a great time, all you trick-or-treaters out there, no matter where you are exactly. Again, my prayers and blessings go out to the people who were caught in the storm. It was very, very scary. It was very just eerie. I mean, people don't understand how powerful this whole thing is. I think about Hurricane Katrina that took place in the state of Louisiana. I remember a couple friends of mine who are down there, and I want to say shout out to one of them who still lives there, my good friend Gift. He's a big-time sports fan, especially pro football and college football and rugby. I remember talking with him about the whole situation, and he basically survived. He pulled through. Him and as many people as they could down there made it through that safely. And then you basically got the tsunami that took place in Hawaii. So that was also another big thing. The storm that took place in Japan, just all these hurricanes. I mean, it's scary. It's a scary time we're living in right now. So I say to everybody everywhere, be safe. Just take it easy. Just take it easy. That's all I can say. Like I said, this is a great day to be back. There's so much going on. The NBA season officially kicked off last night, and it is so good to have basketball back compared to what it was like last year where the games didn't take place until the day after Christmas. It felt good to watch a couple of games that I got a chance to watch last night, including one big game involving the defending champions. I have to say it was a great game, and basically it kind of came down to the wire a little bit, but the Miami Heat pulled away from the Boston Celtics. There's a little bit of drama in that game, and I'll get to that a little bit later on in the broadcast. As you know, another week of football passed, and this year the NFL season is different than what we have been accustomed to seeing for so many years. One reason I say that is because so many of these teams are so capable of beating each other now. Can we really say there's such a thing as an upset? I mean, think about that. Can we really say that it's automatic to think that you're going to go into a matchup with somebody and automatically beat them? And I look at some of these teams who were able to win certain games this year, and I got to say, we are living in an era now where certain teams can match up with others. excuse me. And basically, it's all about making the right plays at the right time. And that goes to every game, every sort of competition that there is out there, whether it's pro or collegiate. You have to take that into consideration and just understand that, hey, this is it. This is what we do, and we do it so well. I got to say, one particular team who I didn't expect to be playing so good right now is the Atlanta Falcons. For example, I didn't expect them to be undefeated at this point. I think about what they've done over the years. They've been a playoff team. They're tough to beat in the Georgia Dome. They got a good young quarterback who has slowly but surely worked his way into being one of the elites. And if this year has proven anything, You never know when you're going into a situation and you got to say, hey, this is my time to shine right now, and Matt Ryan is certainly using that to his advantage. And luckily for him, the NFL has become more of a passing league, so he's going to be able to put up big numbers throughout. So I got to say, as far as the Atlanta Falcons are concerned, it's still a long season. Anything can change from here up until week 17. Stay the course. You got a good win this past week, and you need to continue to build off that. Now, they got the Dallas Cowboys coming up next Sunday, and they're going to be facing a Cowboys team where we never know what this team looks like from week to week. One week they look good, next week they don't look so good. I go back to week one against the Giants, how they were able to go to the Giants stadium and beat the Giants and avenge what happened to them last year. I think about that team and how their offense was just so firing on all cylinders, and I think about how good Tony Romo looked. And if you think about it, since that particular week, they really haven't looked so good. I don't understand how they can struggle with the wide receivers. They got one of the best tight ends in the game. They got a good runner. They got a good offensive line. They got a solid defensive front with DeMarcus Ware, who to me is one of the top five defensive players in the game. I don't understand why they're struggling. But sometimes when all the pressure is against you, when you got a high, fiery owner, and when you got a wacky defensive coordinator who's so quick to run in his mouth, you're gonna deal with these things every single week, from practice to playing the actual game, week by week, from week one to week 17, or however far you make it into the postseason. It's still a long season, and we'll see what this team can do, but I'm not convinced. I actually thought that the Giants would run away with the NFC East just for the simple fact that not only are they the defending champions, they got the best defense, they got a good quarterback who, I'm not going to lie to you, I haven't always been a big fan of Eli Manning, but I respect the guy's game, I respect the guy's play. He's a guy that knows how to turn it up when he needs to. And he's got two Super Bowl rings to show for it, and he's got a good head coach who stays on him. I mean, Tom Coughlin is one of the toughest head coaches I've ever seen. And if you go back to the 90s when he coached the Jacksonville Jaguars from the time that they entered the league in 95 up until his departure many years later, some of those guys will tell you that he was tough. It always stayed in the locker room, but he was tough. Anybody that put him out there, he was a tough guy. And he didn't always get his credit where credit was due to him, but he is a good head coach. And for what it's worth, he's coaching a good team. They still got good wide receivers. They lost a few pieces in the offseason. I thought they was going to struggle. I couldn't bear to false witness how this team was going to look going into the start of the year, but look at what they're doing. And this is the Giants team that most of us expected last year. Throughout the regular season, where it looked like they had something going and they kind of struggled and then they turned it up. And if you go back to the 2007 season, they got off to an 0-2 start. People were ready to ride them off. Nobody really gave them an opportunity. They turned it up right when they need to. And some teams just do good at turning it up. Some teams know how to come out and just start throwing it left and right, making the right plays when they need to, and it translates into victories. So you got to give this Giants team credit. I think what they can do is they can even be better and play better than what they've been playing. So I can't wait to see what this team's going to do. And I'm just happy. I'm happy to see how this team's going to play. Can they keep it consistent? Because consistency has been an issue with this team even during the regular season. So. But we'll get to more of the football highlights coming up. I want to say, I haven't done this in a while. We got some birthdays for some entrepreneurs in sports. I got to say happy 61st birthday to Nick Saban, who is the head coach at the University of Alabama. Like him or not, he's a good coach who should have stayed in college. He should have never really went to the NFL. But when he took over the Dolphins in 2005, that year they had a 9-7 record. A lot of people thought that that was a great Recipe for Improvement, based off the year that they were coming off of when they were just an absolute disaster. And a lot of people thought that there was going to be even greater things to come, and that necessarily wasn't the case. He basically abandoned the Miami Dolphins organization and jumped ship to the University of Alabama, and he's been there ever since, and he belongs there as far as I'm concerned. But nonetheless, happy 61st birthday to him, and good luck to the Alabama team as they defend their title, and they look like they haven't skipped a beat. They look just as good as they did a year ago, so congratulations to them. Happy 65th birthday to Frank Shorter, who was a retired Olympic runner. He was best known for winning the gold medal in the marathon at the 1972 Summer Olympics in Munich, America. He was also he also won a silver medal in the event at the 1976 Summer Games in Montreal. And he basically established running as an everyday activity for Americans. So this guy was a true innovator at heart. He was a legend and an icon in his own way. And if you talk to some of the runners today, they'll tell you they look up to this guy. So congratulations to all of his accomplishments, and happy birthday to you, legend. Happy 59th birthday to John Lucas, who was a former basketball coach and a retired NBA player. He was a consistent scoring guard during his 14-year NBA career. He played six teams from 1976 through 1990. He had three different stints with the Houston Rockets, who actually selected him with the first overall pick in the 1976 NBA draft. However, he had some issues off the court, drug problems, may have kept him from really being a true great player. I mean, we never really got to see this guy's full potential, which is a shame. It's unfortunate. After he retired as a player, he coached several teams. He coached the Spurs, the 76ers, and the Cavaliers. But, again, this guy has some off-the-court issues. But, nonetheless, happy 59th birthday to him. Happy 49th birthday to Fred McGriff. Fred McGriff is one of those forgotten players in the Major League Baseball era. Many people don't talk about this guy much anymore, and I think he was a good player who didn't get much credit. He was a five-time All-Star first baseman, played for six teams during his entire career from 1986 to 2004, and he finished his career with 493 home runs, which is pretty good. People don't know. It is really hard to hit a home run in Major League Baseball, in a professional baseball game, when you're dealing with pitchers who can throw the ball 95 to 100 miles per hour, and you're trying to hit those baseballs that are traveling that fast. So you got to give this guy credit. 493 home runs, that's a lot. I consider that a whole lot. He was also on the Braves, the Atlanta Braves team that won the World Series in 1995. So he also has a World Series ring to show for. And speaking of the World Series, I hate to talk about it, but I will bring this up momentarily. My Tigers were embarrassingly swept by the San Francisco Giants. Yeah, I know. The San Francisco Giants deserved it. I'll get to more of that in just a moment. I got one more birthday. Happy 31st birthday to Mike Napoli, who is currently a catcher for the Texas Rangers. He debuted with the Los Angeles Angels in 2006. He was traded to the Toronto Blue Jays, and then last season he ended up with Texas, and he was named an American League All-Star this past season. So congratulations to him in that feat and to that accomplishment. I got to say, in Major League Baseball right now, considering everything that's been going on, there have been a lot of bright spots. What people don't know is there's so many bright spots as far as what teams and players have been able to do. I look at what Miguel Cabrera did this year, winning the Triple Crown for the first time since 1967. That's a long time, a hell of a long time. But I've been disappointed in his play during the postseason. And as a loyal Tigers fan, I have to put guys on the spot right now. I wasn't happy with him. I sure as hell wasn't happy with Prince Fielder. He didn't hit any home runs. And, well, he rarely hit the ball during the postseason. That's a problem. That's a problem. When you sign $214 million for nine seasons, you should be jacking home runs at least once per game. I'm just putting that out there. I'm sorry to say that, but it's the truth. Justin Verlander, people have ridiculed him for failing to win the big game as a pitcher, as a starting pitcher, as a primary starting pitcher. When you're the best pitcher of the game, your job is to go out there and to produce as much as possible. That's like being the best quarterback in the game, or being the best point guard in the NBA, or being the best goalie in the NHL. There's so much responsibility that you have to have in order to get out there and to do your job and do it effectively. What people don't understand is Verlander, he's a guy that he can pitch, absolutely flat-out pitch. I mean, this guy can throw the ball like any other pitcher I've ever seen. I mean, he has a great, great knack for getting that ball right where he needs to be, and he has a certain style for pitching the ball, which I've noticed him do since he's been drafted and since he's been in the league. We actually got some baseball news to talk about, too. Staying on the Tigers, well, a couple of guys were free agents. Delmon Young and Jose Valverde will no longer be part of the team. I found out today, and it actually been publicized a little bit, that they're agreeing to part ways with these two guys and let them move on as free agents. Now, I'm not shocked about the whole Valverde situation. A lot of Tigers fans like myself, we knew that his time was going to be running short. And it's a shame because he played so well during the course of the regular season. The next thing you know, when the playoffs get here, he struggles. So I don't understand. I mean, he struggled badly. I mean, they almost lost some games because of him. They lost one particular game to the Athletics because of him, and they almost lost a game to the Yankees because of him, and he struggled against the Giants in the World Series. Delmon Young was kind of a surprise to me because, to me, he was their best hitter by far during the course of the playoffs. He was their most consistent hitter. He was the guy that provided the hitting when they needed it, and despite them coming up short in the World Series, to me, he still played his absolute hardest, and I'm going to miss him. And this is a guy that had some issues earlier this year off the field, and he let that be a motivation tool for him to get out there and to do what he has to do, and I'm happy. I'm very happy for what he was able to accomplish this year, and most Tiger fans, including myself, will say he's going to be missed. He's going to be missed. The MLB free agency this offseason is going to be very interesting. A lot of people are talking about what's going to happen with Alex Rodriguez. A lot of people are going to talk about, will he still stay in New York? Will he still stay a Yankee? All the money that he's making right now, he signed a clause in his contract where he's basically untouchable as far as being traded. So they can't trade a guy, and they can't really cut him because that's a lot of money that we're talking about going down the drain. Now, if a team is willing to take on his contract, and if he's willing to go to that team, then you got to look at it from that perspective. But he doesn't want to be traded, and he wants to stay in New York, so this is going to be a tough decision that the organization has to make. They also got a handful of other free agents that they got to worry about as well. So the team is kind of in a disarray right now, and you saw how it ended in the postseason, being swept the way they were. They led the league in home runs. Many people don't know that. They led the league in home runs this year, but despite that, with the whole Derek Jeter injury and some of the other drama regarding Joe Girardi and Mariano Rivera and some of the other guys on the team, you have to wonder, is the Yankees run over? Is it finally over? Some people who are diehard Yankee fans, they stick by their team for so many years, but at some point, when you have to tear the whole wall down and start over, you've got to face the music a little bit and understand, hey, this is it. It was fun while it lasted, but, you know, the Yankees are a team that they can bring anybody over, and they'll be in the postseason competing every single year. So I don't think it's over as far as the run, because they'll always be bringing in players left and right. It's the Yankees. Everybody wants to play for the Yankees. That's just the way it is. But I will say that this team will be back next year. I expect the Tigers to come back next year. Jim Leland will be back. Victor Martinez will be back. Hopefully some of the other guys not named, Delmon Young and Jose Valverde, will be back as well. So it'll be a long climb to seeing what they're going to do. But congratulations to the San Francisco Giants. They were a very interesting story in the postseason. They were down 0-2 to the Cincinnati Reds. Now, keep in mind, they had home field in those first two games anyway. So those were the two games they were supposed to win. When the series shifted over to Cincinnati, they took care of business. They won the next three and won going away. They were down 3-1 to the previous World Series champion, St. Louis Cardinals. They were down 3-1 in that series, and they just turned it up by winning the final three. And in that game seven, it was just an absolute laugher. I mean, 9-0, really? They blew them right out of the gate. And if you're the St. Louis Cardinals, you have to be embarrassed about that. There's no excuse for that whatsoever. And then whatever happened, it translated over into the World Series against what I thought was a much better Tigers team as opposed to the Cardinals and Reds, but they swept them, and they beat us pretty good. So I got to tip my hat off to them. And congratulations. And we'll see y'all hopefully next year probably. We'll see. They had their victory parade today, so good for them. And again, congrats. Congrats to these guys, and we'll see what they do next year. I got some baseball news real quickly. Well, the Kansas City Royals declined an option on closer Holcomb Soria. Baltimore Orioles exercised options on Avila, and they deny one of their other players. Going back to the Orioles option, sorry about that. They basically have exercised their club option on their right-hand reliever, Luis Ayala, and declined their option on first baseman, Mark Reynolds. So basically, Reynolds was in position to receive $11 million next year. So he'll get a $500,000 buyout and will remain under club control through the whole arbitration process. Ayala, on the other hand, went 5-for-5 with a 2.64 ERA in 66 appearances with the Orioles. He allowed only one run or fewer in all but seven outings. The Orioles also purchased the contract of pitcher Zach Clark from AAA Norfolk and added him to the 40-man roster. He was combined 15-7 with a 2.79 ERA with Norfolk and AA Bowie. So looks like the Orioles are trying to pick up where they left off a year ago. They challenged the Yankees, and they were able to go out and do some things. The Pittsburgh Pirates picked up an option on third baseman Pedro Alvarez. Alfonso Soriano outside of the last year of his deal with the Yankees. And basically now the New York Mets have picked up the contract options for their all-stars David Wright and R.A. Dickey. So moves are already being made now, and that's good for the league. So there's going to be some interesting moves during the baseball offseason. I'm anxious to see what other teams are going to do. And I'm looking forward to seeing what my Tigers are going to do. I want to see who else they bring in, who wants to come and play for this team, and who can help out, who can contribute, and who can get this team even further. I'm talking winning the World Series and even coming back and being more productive and staying more productive. One other news, the LA Angels, traded right-hander Irvin Santana to the Kansas City Royals yesterday for minor league left-hander Brandon Sisk. Angels exercised Santana's $13 million option for next year before trading him, along with cash, to Kansas City. So basically, Santana was a fixture in the Angels' rotation since 2005, going 96-80. With a 4.33 ERA while starting at least 23 games in eight consecutive seasons. He's played his entire career with the Angels, who signed him as a free agent in 2000 and up until now. He struggled last year going 9-for-13 with a 5.16 ERA while giving up a major league worst, 39 home runs, which was the worst among starting pitchers. So they felt like he was expendable. So they decided to make this move, and unfortunately. But, you know, sometimes things happen and you have to move on. This is a business league. People don't understand it's a business league when it comes to sports. Everything is done business-wise. Players get traded. When players get cut, everything is done business-wise. It happens. But, again, congratulations to the San Francisco Giants and to all the MLB teams that are looking to, you know, basically do what they have to make moves to get better and to do what they need to do to solidify their positions and develop their skills. Now I want to get over to the NFL real quickly, and we always have a lot to talk about this time of the year in the National Football League. Most people thought that he was going to be benched, but Michael Vick is still going to stay the starting quarterback for the Eagles, and he should. I don't care who the quarterback is. They need to revamp that offensive line. When your offensive line is banged up and the guys that are out there can't protect your starting quarterback, that's a problem. And I've been saying this for years. This team thrives, absolutely thrives on throwing the football. They'll throw the ball 50 to 60 times to win a game. And when you got a runner like LeSean McCoy, who is a good runner, by the way, you need to establish that into your offense. You need to learn how to get your running backs more involved. This is something they failed to do with Brian Westbrook. They kept relying on him too much in the passing game. And this is what eventually is going to come back and hurt Andy Reid if it hasn't yet. They already fired the defensive coordinator 2 weeks ago during the bye week. They come back this Sunday, and they give up the most points they gave up all season long to a good Atlanta team at home. And now things are just it's still a struggle. Because keep in mind, everybody thought that the Eagles were going to go to the Super Bowl with the moves they made before last year. They had a busy offseason. They brought in a handful of big-name players who they thought were going to be major contributors. This is also something that I looked at and I said, well, can some of those guys fit their scheme? Because the Eagles, they run a scheme unlike most teams. If you notice, they don't do a lot of blitzing. They haven't blitzed much since maybe 2 or 3 years ago when they were blitzing consistently and really getting after opposing quarterbacks. I also noticed how their wide receivers, you don't hear too many people talk about their wide receivers. Sean Jackson, what's going on with him? Jeremy Maclin, what's going on with him? I mean, it's a total team effort. Nobody can blame the loss on one person. This is a total team effort that you have to put into week after week. And one thing I've noticed about this team is they're not getting it done with the chemistry. They're not getting it done on the offense, and they're not getting it done on defense. This team's season is about ready to cash in if it hasn't yet. So I think it's unfortunate. I think that something should be done about this, and I'm not saying it should start with the head coaching change or anything. I'm not going to say that, but a coach can only tell players what they need to do. It's up to the players to execute the plays at the end of the day. It's as simple as that. And if the players are not the ones executing the plays and doing what they need to do, then you got to make a change amongst the roster. Sometimes it's not always the head coach. It's other pieces. The players have to be able to be held accountable for their actions as far as not getting it done. And that's just the way it is. And I think it's unfortunate because the Eagles are very talented. They got some good, talented players on both sides of the ball. It's a shame to see them struggle like this. And they need to hurry up and get this thing taken care of because they still got some tough games coming up. They got to go to New Orleans next Monday night. And even though the Saints are struggling, let's be honest, the Georgia Dome is not an easy place to win. And the Saints are starting to come on just a little bit now. They're starting to come on a little bit. They got Joe Vitt back now who will take over as the head coach the rest of this season. Jonathan Vilma, we'll see what happens with him. Drew Brees, he has plenty of reasons to play under fire right now. And I think that the Saints eventually will get more of their muster back they'll muster more energy and be a much more competitive team. And eventually they'll be competing for the postseason now until week 17. So if I'm the Falcons, I need to keep winning games to maintain home field advantage right now, as of right now, in the NFC. So we'll see what happens with that. We got a game tomorrow between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Diego Chargers, two teams who are also talented but have been quite disappointing. San Diego 2 weeks ago allowed Denver to come back and humiliate them on Monday night on their field, giving up the biggest comeback on Monday Night Football history, which is 24 points. Now, what's funny was it was against Peyton Manning, but, again, San Diego scored all their points in the first half. They allowed Denver to come back and score all their points in the second half. Mind-boggling, completely mind-boggling. And then this past week, they go to Cleveland, and they only score 6 points. You only score 6 points against Cleveland? Really? I mean, that's like the nail in the coffin right there. There's no explanation for that, none whatsoever. And I just think that something should be done with this team real quickly before their schedule gets a little tougher, because, let's face it, they got to play Denver again, and they're going to be playing games against Pittsburgh and Baltimore. So their schedule is going to get a little tough, too. This weekend, we got some very interesting matchups. We got the Dolphins going against the Colts. Got Buffalo and Houston, Baltimore and Cleveland, Denver against Cincinnati, Chicago against Tennessee, Detroit against Jacksonville, and I have a little bit of news regarding those two teams in just a moment. Arizona and Green Bay, Carolina and Washington, Tampa Bay and Oakland, Minnesota and Seattle, Pittsburgh and the Giants, and the Dallas and the Atlanta game, and we already know the Monday night matchup between the Eagles and Saints. Going back to the Jaguars and Lions game real quickly, there's actually a little bit of news between these two teams. Now, everybody knows that Nate Burleson, wide receiver of the Lions, is now out for the season with his leg injury. He did not participate in this past weekend's game against Seattle, obviously. And now the Lions are looking to kind of beef up their wide receiver depth chart just a little bit. Mike Thomas was traded to the Detroit Lions from the Jacksonville Jaguars a couple of days ago for an undisclosed draft pick. This trade actually does make sense for both sides. The Lions need wide receiver help. And the Jaguars, who are 1-6, get a draft pick for a player who completely has fallen out of favor with the new coaching staff. And I'm talking about their first-round rookie, Justin Blackmon. Can you believe that nobody has talked about this guy all season long? I mean, I forgot about him. And expectations were high on this guy. A lot of people thought that he, along with Blaine Gabbert and Maurice Jones-Drew, would form a triple threat on the offensive side of the ball, and that has not been the case. Their second-year wide receiver, Cecil Shorts III, passed him up on the depth chart. And the Jaguars actually Cecil Shorts passed up Mike Thomas. Mike Thomas was also a punt returner, and he had his role in that situation revoked by Jacksonville. So, and now with Maurice Jones-Drew, who's going to be out for this upcoming game with an injury, and Blaine Gabbert still kind of being banged up a little bit, this is another team that looks like they're going to be competing for the first overall pick in the draft next year. So I'm sorry to Jacksonville fans. It's a messy situation for you guys right now, unfortunately, but keep your heads up. You guys will be just fine. You'll be able to turn it up in the future. It's got to start now, though. So, again, remember, just because you're struggling now don't mean that you can't get better eventually. And some teams need to learn how to understand that you can get better eventually when the time gets here. And I think that that's something that all teams can kind of take within themselves and understand what they need to do to get better. Now, as you know, we also got the trade deadline that's been going on. They pushed it back. Originally, it used to be week 6. Now they pushed it back to week 8, which I think was the smart move. It was good. It was good. Some of the players right now, they say nobody is safe. Well, that's right. Nobody is really safe, and I think that some teams can make these moves to get themselves better because this has been one of the ridiculous seasons I've ever seen. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, but it's a good thing. It's a good ridiculous. I think that some of these teams are capable of beating up each other now more than what we've ever seen. You remember back in the 90s when teams really would dominate like Green Bay, Dallas, San Francisco, Denver, New England? Remember those teams dominated? I mean, literally dominated their divisions year by year. We're not really seeing much of that now. It's like all these teams can compete with each other, and I think that's good for the league. I think that's good for the NFL because sometimes it gets boring seeing certain teams dominate every week. You like competition. You like teams and players who can step up and make contributions and do what it takes to help their teams play better. So this weekend we got some very interesting matchups, and I'm looking forward to seeing who will step up, who will win their games, and who will work their way up to getting back to 500 because there's a lot of teams who have losing records right now. So it'll be interesting to see what these teams do. And, yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. Now, I want to say real quickly to some of the teams out there that are struggling. You got time to turn it around, but it has to start right now. You cannot afford to to be struggling and not doing anything right now. You got to make amends for what you need to do right here, right now. Your time is here, period. So you got to handle your business. It's as simple as that. You got to do your thing. You got to do what you got to do to make yourself better and to be better as players, as coaches, as teams, period. You got to do your thing. And I can't wait to see this upcoming week and who's going to step up. Who's going to step up? Because some of these teams need it. Some of these teams need all the help that they can get right now. This is it. This is it. So, again, congratulations to some of the teams that are playing good right now, like the Falcons and Texans. You guys got to keep it up. And I can't wait to see what your teams do. Again, this is it. This is it. This has been an interesting season, and I'm just looking forward to seeing what they're going to do, see what some of these teams are going to do. Now, as you know, because of the trade deadline, some of the players, running back D'Angelo Williams of the Panthers and running back Steven Jackson, some of those guys were on the trade bubble. Apparently, Jackson, anyway, will not be traded from the St. Louis Rams, and good for them. Keep the guy because he's still a good runner when he's healthy. He's still one of the best power runners in the game. His trouble has been staying healthy over the years, but when he's out there in the field, he's fun to watch. He's still one of those best power runners in the league. And, again, I like watching the guy run. So if I'm the St. Louis Rams organization, I say keeping him was the right thing to do. Now, going back to some of these games this past week, I was kind of impressed with some of the teams who played well. I was impressed with what Denver did. Now, for those of you who don't know, Denver is my second favorite NFL team, behind the Lions, obviously. So as a Broncos fan, I was just so amazed with what Peyton Manning did this past Sunday night against the Saints. I actually thought that game was going to be a shootout, but it turns out that it was one-sided, and the Saints just completely looked out of sync. Their defense was out of sync, special teams was out of sync, and Drew Brees often at times struggled to throw the football. Denver still got a good pass rush. They still got good defensive players on that side of the ball. Elvis Dumervil is leading the charge still. He might not always have the big numbers, but sometimes it doesn't have to be big numbers. You can be a big presence. People will be aware of you. When you got opposing teams and coaches scheming against you, then you know that you're doing your job, and you'll continue to do your job. And I think that Denver's defense is going to get stronger as the second half of the season gets underway this upcoming weekend. I think that this is going to be a team that the rest of the AFC better look out for. Now, I know they lost to the Texans already, but let's be honest. We all knew that it was going to take time for Peyton Manning to adjust to this team. We all knew that it was going to be time where he was going to struggle a little bit with the chemistry with the wide receivers, the running backs, the tight ends, the offensive line, and even the coaches. But I think that this is a team that you really got to be fearful for this upcoming week. Not just this upcoming week, but the rest of the season. I'm actually going to take the opportunity right quick to make some of my picks real quick. I'm going to pick every game. This is something that I'm going to be doing every week on the Rocket Sports Breakdown. I'm going to take the Colts over the Dolphins. I think with Ryan Tannehill being banged up, I know that they played well against the Jets this past week, but I think Andrew Luck has established himself as a quarterback who can win home games. And he plays so good in front of that crowd. They're behind him, and they should be, because they invested a lot in this kid. And to me, that's going to be an interesting game between these two teams. I mean, it's a game that really could go either way, but I'm going to take the Colts just because I think that when you got two rookie quarterbacks who most likely will be facing each other this weekend, you got to go with the top guy, the guy who was picked first. And I think in this particular case, Andrew Luck will win the shootout, but can the Colts win the game? I'm going to pick them to win, but we'll see what happens. I'm going to take the Texans to beat the Buffalo Bills. I think Buffalo is learning the hard way about bringing in big-name free agents, whether it's on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball. They're still kind of adjusting a little bit to Mario Williams, and they should be. But that being said, their offense is still struggling. They don't look like themselves right now. And something should be done about that. They need to kind of figure out what they're going to do on the offensive side of the ball and be consistent at it. Because this is a team that got off to a good start last year. They struggled down the line, but they showed promise. And right now, I'm not seeing that promise. So we'll see what they do. Now, I will say that the Houston Texans, they got issues of their own. Brian Cushing, he's lost for the rest of the season, so that's going to hurt their defense a little bit. But keep in mind, they lost Mario Williams in the first quarter of last season for the rest of the year, and they still went on to have one of the top-ranked defenses. What makes this game interesting is Mario Williams will be facing his former team, the team who drafted him number one overall in 2006. So he'll be going back to Houston and facing his former team for the first time in his career. So that'll be an interesting matchup to see. But I'm going to take the Texans. They're cruising in the AFC as far as I'm concerned. With New England struggling a little bit and with Denver still finding their sink and with Baltimore suffering some issues, to me the AFC, the conference is the Texans to lose the rest of the year, period. Another game we got coming up, Baltimore and Cleveland. Now, a few weeks ago, these two teams faced each other, and in that game, Joe Flacco threw for 356 yards with a touchdown and an interception in the 23-16 win. It was a lot more competitive than even what the score showed, but what the Ravens didn't have was Terrell Suggs, who was the reigning defensive player of the year. He'll be in the lineup this weekend. But the Browns have plenty of reasons to be happy right now. They're on a winning streak right now a little bit. They got something going. So if you're the Ravens, you should be worried because you're going into their field and what I think is still a hostile environment, even though the Browns haven't exactly been a winning team for so long. But it's still a tough place to play football over there. Now, I think what makes this game interesting is not only is it a divisional game, but, again, every time the Ravens go back to Cleveland to play a football game, they get the tar boot out of them. Let's face it, they were the original Cleveland Browns. This is the team that they packed up and moved in 1996. They never looked back, and next thing you know, 4 or 5 years later, they won a Super Bowl. And everybody was so mad at Art Modell for doing what he did. Now, he passed on earlier this year, but Browns fans are still bitter towards him for what he did, and rightfully so. They have a reason to feel that way. I mean, he took away the football team from them, and they didn't have one for a few years, so they have every right to feel that way, but, you know, it is what it is. Apparently, both parties have moved on a little bit, so that game is going to be a fun one to watch this weekend. So I'm anxious to see how that game is going to turn out. Speaking of Denver, they're going to be in Cincinnati this weekend to take on the Bengals. And to me, I'm taking Denver to win this game just for the simple fact that Peyton Manning is absolutely on fire right now. He looks like he's well on his way to winning another regular season MVP award, especially if he continues to play the way he's been playing lately. If I'm the Cincinnati Bengals, whose defense has been a disappointment, by the way, I'm worried. I'm very worried. Now, I think that in order for the Bengals to win this game, they're going to have to jump on Denver as quickly as possible. You can't match point for points with them. It's just not going to happen. Your defense is going to have to step up and get after Peyton Manning and shut him down and shut down Willis McGahee and keep them on the sideline as much as possible. Chicago and Tennessee, you know what? I'm going to take the Titans in the upset, y'all. That's right. That's right. I'm taking the Titans in the upset. This is going to be my upset pick of the week, and here's why. I think Chicago has showed some signs of struggling in the red zone at times. I think their problem is when they get in the red zone, they usually struggle to put up some points. Now, Tennessee has a good offense, and I think that they're going to need Chris Johnson more than ever to win this game just because of Chicago's defense. But I think going back the past 2 weeks, Chicago has struggled to put up points. When Jay Cutler gets hit, they're a completely different football team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So if you're the Titans, you got to feel confident that you can challenge this team and that you can really take it to them. I think about that game against Detroit, how they were able to put up points against a good Detroit front. They can do the same thing against the Chicago Bears, who also have a good defensive front. So that's my upset pick. I'm taking the Titans in the upset. If they win, I want my props. If they lose, you can tell me on my Facebook page what an idiot I am. Speaking of Detroit, they're going to be in Jacksonville. To me, this should be an easy win. This should be a cakewalk for Detroit. And I say this because, come on, first of all, Jacksonville's 1-6. Blaine Gabbert is banged up. Maurice Jones-Drew is out for this game. He's not going to play. I think Detroit is starting to take on some rhythm a little bit. They have to win this game. Detroit does. They got to because they're the team that's going to be competing for the postseason, not Jacksonville. I just think that Detroit has way too much talent, and they're way too good of a football team to lose this game. Now, what makes this matchup interesting is these two teams have played each other 4 times. Jacksonville has won the past 3 meetings, including 2008 when they went to Ford Field and beat up on them during Detroit's winless season. The only time Detroit beat Jacksonville was when Jacksonville was an expansion team in 1995. It was a 44-0 blowout at the Pontiac Silverdome. It was Jacksonville's first year in the NFL, and that's the only time the Lions have won the matchup between these two teams. But I think that streak is going to end this weekend, and you can quote me on that. So I'm going to take Detroit to win that game. I'm going to take Detroit to win big. Arizona and Green Bay. This game is going to be very interesting because of Arizona's defense going up against Green Bay's offense. Now, if you notice, Arizona, after getting up to a 4-0 start, they're now 4-4. And we all knew that the struggles of the offense were eventually going to catch up to this team. If you notice the first 4 games, their defense was in control of those games. Their defense was able to get after opposing offenses, opposing quarterbacks, and, again, force those teams to make mistakes. we haven't seen much of that. That Monday night game against San Francisco the other night was just an absolute embarrassment. And I think as long as their offense continues to struggle, they're not going to put a lot of points on the board. Now, it's a shame because they're going to Lambeau Field against a Green Bay team that's turning it up right now, and they can score, obviously. We all know that now. But I think the way that Arizona can try to win this game is if they get after Aaron Rodgers early and often. That's the only way they have a shot at winning this game, to be honest with you. I'm going to take the Packers just for the simple fact that they're on a roll right now. That game against the Texans a few weeks ago gave them some momentum, and to me that's the turning point in their season. So I'm going to take the Packers to win that game. Carolina and Washington, I like the Redskins in this game. And I think that with Cam Newton struggling, even though Carolina almost pulled off an upset over Chicago this past weekend, I think that RG3, to me, is better than Cam Newton. To me, RG3 is better this year than Cam Newton was last year. Yes, I said it. I said it, and I'm going to stick with it. I think that RG3 has shown that he can win games with his arm. He can win games with his feet. He is the type of guy that even when the Redskins lose games, he keeps himself positive. He keeps his head held high. I'm not seeing that from Cam Newton. To me, he's the most disappointing sophomore player right now because of those struggles and because of the fact that he just looks out of sync. And I think he's one of those guys where after a while, when you get used to seeing how he plays the game, you can really stack the line and scheme to beat this guy. And that's what we're seeing opposing teams do to him. I'm going to take the Redskins. I think they're going to win that game. It should be a fun one. That game will be at 1 o'clock this upcoming Sunday. The 4 o'clock games, we got a few of them. Tampa Bay and Oakland. To me, this is a game that can go either way. I'm going to take the Raiders because they went to Arrowhead Stadium. They beat their division rival, Kansas City. And to me, they're just the better team of the two, plain and simple. So I got Oakland winning that game. Minnesota and Seattle, I'm going to take Seattle to rebound. After seeing Minnesota get beat up like that by Tampa Bay last week, I don't think Minnesota is as good as everybody thinks they are. Not as good as everybody says they are. Seattle right now, to me, the matchup of the running backs is going to be what makes this game special. Marshawn Lynch against Adrian Peterson. Both of these guys came out in 2007. Adrian Peterson still with Minnesota. Marshawn Lynch was drafted by Buffalo. They might be the two best power runners in the game. And you could certainly put them in the top 10, definitely. To me, Marshawn Lynch is the most dangerous running back in the NFL. The way the guy runs, I mean, he just seems like it's impossible to tackle him. He's strong. He's got good vision on the football field. He's got good footwork. He looked good against Detroit last week. He only carried the ball 12 times for a buck 05, but he had that one impressive touchdown run where he just looked really, really good, and he was barely touched. And like I said on my Facebook page, I think he's the most dangerous runner in the game, period. I got Seattle winning that game, and I think they're going to win pretty big. The other game is Pittsburgh and the Giants. To me, this is going to be the matchup of the week and maybe even a Super Bowl preview. I'm going to take the Steelers to win this game just because I think that they have a recipe and they have the recipe to shutting down Eli Manning and the Giants. Now, the Giants won the last matchup between these two teams back in 2008, and that was one of those games that provided motivation for the Steelers to go on to win the Super Bowl. So I guess you could say the Steelers should thank the Giants for that loss. I think that despite Troy Polamalu being banged up and James Harrison being banged up and Pittsburgh still finding their identity a little bit on the offense, I really think that they can win this game. I noticed how, as impressive as the Giants look this year, you can beat them. They can be a beatable team. So it's a game that it's going to come down to the wire. It's going to come down to who has the ball in their hands and who's going to make the most plays and which quarterback plays better. Because to me, whoever has a better passing game is most likely going to win this game. And these are two teams, for over the years, they've been known for running the football more, but they still got two of the elite passers in the game, and this is going to be one of the matchups that everybody's going to be talking about after the game is over. The Sunday night game, the Cowboys and Falcons, I'm taking Atlanta, and I think Atlanta's going to win big just for the simple fact that Dallas is absolutely inconsistent. I'm just not liking what I'm seeing from them, and they're nowhere near the team they was in week one. So all you Cowboys fans out there, deal with it. Deal with it, period. That's just the way it is. You're going to have to realize that your team is not as good as everybody says they are. Your quarterback is out of sync at times. Your running game isn't really getting it done. Your wide receivers aren't really getting it done. If you take away your tight end, your offense is absolutely pathetic, period. And your defense, same thing. If you take away DeMarcus Ware, you're nothing. I'm just putting it out there. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. I'm going to take the Falcons to remain undefeated. They just look like they're on a mission to getting back home field advantage again like they did two seasons ago and hopefully even getting a playoff win from Matt Ryan. So we'll see what happens with this matchup, but I like the Falcons. I like them to win big. Monday night game, the Eagles and Saints. I'm going to take the Saints just for the simple fact that this game is in the Georgia Dome and Philadelphia is just an absolute mess right now. They're worse than the Cowboys, much worse. I think Drew Brees is going to rebound from that Denver game, and this will be a game that he can rebound in and rebound big. This is a game that the Saints should win, and this is a game that, well, it's going to be interesting to see how Michael Vick goes up against the Saints' defense and how Drew Brees looks against Philly's defense. But I think that what's going to happen is if Michael Vick can limit his turnovers, not make many mistakes, the offensive line can protect him, the wide receivers do their part, and LeSean McCoy has a productive game, who knows? Maybe the Eagles can go into New Orleans, the Superdome, and win. But this is a game that at the beginning of the season, many people thought, well, these two teams are going to be competing for, home field advantage. These two teams are going to be taking that next big step again. The Eagles are going to take a next big step. The Saints, they're still going to remain one of the elites. And that's not going to be the case, but this should be a good game to watch, and I will be tuning in. So those are my picks for Week 17, and I can't wait to see how that turns out. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with some NBA. The NBA season is back, y'all, and we got some games already in progress. Stay tuned. Rocket Nation, thank you for tuning in. Get ready for a power trip. Rocket, we'll be right back.
Mind constantly
Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Rocket is in session, doing his thing. He's back on the air for the first time in a month. Still trying to get his mojo back on air a little bit, trying to do his thing. Have fun with you guys. Thank you all for tuning in. Really appreciate it. I also want to take an opportunity to say to everybody who called in but couldn't break through, my apologies on that. As you can see, I had a lot to talk about tonight, a whole lot, and that's how these shows are going to be for the most part. But we're still on the air. We still got a good 45 more minutes left, so please call in. You know, you are more than welcome to do so. Timing is 815-347-327-9586 is the number. Again, that's 347-327-9586. Feel free to call in. We're getting ready to get into the NBA session of our show, the NBA portion. And one big piece of news regarding the Houston Rockets getting James Harden in that trade from the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Rockets have apparently given Harden $80 million. Now, keep in mind, they're already paying Jeremy Lin $30 to $35 million. So now they're giving James Harden $80 million for the next 5 years. My goodness, that's a whole lot. Now, he was involved in the trade which sent Kevin Martin over to OKC. A lot of people are kind of wondering, well, how can OKC still get back to the finals without losing their third option? Well, they got in another option. Kevin Martin has been an underrated scorer. He's a good shooter. He's good at driving to the basket. To me, he provides better shooting from beyond the arc. He's a guy that's got good vision. He's got a good vision in terms of shooting the basketball. He's gonna give you a good 15 to 20 a night. He might even give you a little less because of Durant and Westbrook, but he's going to come in. He's going to score. He's going to provide some good quality minutes on the offensive side of the ball. And OKC, despite losing Harden, should still be competing for the NBA Finals this year. And I'm anxious to see how he's going to look this year in Houston, because tonight he's playing. He's actually playing as we speak against my Detroit Pistons. And that game is airing right now as we speak, trying to get the score right now. Right now, Houston is up 27-24 in the second quarter. We also got a few other games in progress. Indiana and Toronto are tied at 48 at halftime. Denver is down to Philadelphia 46-38 at halftime. That game is in Philadelphia. Philadelphia playing without Andrew Bynum, by the way. That game's got an interesting storyline, too. Andre Iguodala, who was a part of that 14 trade, which mostly revolved around Dwight Howard getting sent to L.A. He was sent from Philadelphia, who he had played with throughout his entire career, to Denver, who will be playing. He's making his debut with them tonight. So he's back in Philly again, but this time as a visitor. So that game is at halftime. San Antonio and New Orleans just tipped off. Sacramento and Chicago just tipped off. We also got Dallas and Utah playing tonight. Dallas with that stunning win against my Lakers. Yes, I'm a Lakers and Pistons fan. And to be honest with you, the Thunder, they're my third favorite team. So I got two main teams I cheer for, and then I got that third team that's optional. So, yeah, you got to have that. You got to have that. Other games we got coming up tonight, and we got a handful of them. Yes, we do. We got a handful of games. We got San Antonio against New Orleans. Like I just said, Anthony Davis will be making his debut for the New Orleans Hornets. Expectations are going to be on this kid already. Also, you got Golden State against Phoenix. Got the Lakers, who are looking to rebound from last night's disappointing loss to Dallas. They're going to be in Portland tonight. You also got Memphis against the Clippers. And this is another one of those rare few games already, which is a rematch from last year's playoffs. If you're Memphis, you're thinking revenge. Now, the Clippers bulked themselves up in the offseason by bringing in Grant Hill, Lamar Odom, Chauncey Billups is back. I expect the Clippers to do even further damage. This is going to be a team that's going to be underlooked and underappreciated because everybody's talking about the Lakers and the Thunder, and rightfully so because of the moves that they made. But to me, the Clippers, I never thought I'd be saying this, but they could be a dark horse team to a lot of people in the Western Conference. I said it. I want to reflect back to last night's game. Look, Lakers fans, we don't need to panic, all right? Everybody calm down. It's just one game. Yes, Steve Nash struggled. Yes, Dwight Howard struggled from the free throw line, hitting 3 of 14. Yes, Kobe Bryant was banged up. Really shouldn't have played last night, but, you know, he's Kobe Bryant. He's tough. Of course he's going to play. He didn't get to the free throw line last night, which is kind of puzzling a little bit, but he still had a good shooting percentage. Dwight Howard, he's still finding his rhythm, coming off back surgery, not playing much during the preseason. These guys really didn't have a lot of time to gel because they didn't play much in the preseason together. They played very little together, actually. Dwight Howard only played in 2 games. Kobe Bryant only played in a few games. Nash only played in a few games in the preseason. Lakers fans, we don't need to panic, all right? I've watched a little bit of the first quarter, and I got to say, look, it's going to be all right. This is something that's going to take some time. I would say probably until the second half, the All-Star break, to really see what this Lakers team looks like with the three of those guys hitting their stride. So calm down. Take a breather. Woo-saw if you got to, but relax, okay? It's just one game. One loss doesn't make a team. One loss doesn't break a team, all right? Everybody needs to relax and calm down. Now, the other game, which is the bigger matchup last night between the Celtics and Heat, and it was bitter, just like we all expected it to be. Ray Allen suiting up for Miami for the first time officially in a regular season game, going up against his former team that he won a championship ring with, went to the finals twice, set some milestones, and continued to be a cornerstone player for that team for a few years. I got a chance to watch the game from start to finish, and even though the Celtics were down by double digits, they nearly rallied. They nearly came back and at least put up a fight. There was just so many storylines to this game. First of all, Ray Allen entering the game from Miami. He walked up to Doc Rivers, who he played for, coach of the Celtics. They embraced. Kevin Garnett absolutely paid him no attention whatsoever. Like I said, there's some bitterness going on because if you go back to the offseason, Ray Allen kind of showed a little displeasure in his role as far as not wanting to come off the bench. And I think he kind of felt like in his right mind that he had a better chance of winning another ring with Miami as opposed to trying to win another with Boston. And it was one of those if you can't beat them, join them type situations. And he jumped ship. Celtics fans and brass weren't too happy about it, but it is what it is. Everybody has to move on. Another storyline was Rajon Rondo and his flagrant foul on Dwayne Wade towards the end of the game. I was listening to Tim Legler on ESPN. He made a very valid statement about not waiting until the end of the game to do a Bush League move like that. I completely agree with him. If you're going to foul somebody like that, foul him much earlier in the game when you're down, like down way down in the game. Don't do it at the end when the game is pretty much out of reach and, you know, it's pretty much over and you're just playing until the clock reaches zero in the fourth quarter. Rajon Rondo, to me, is one of those guys where when he first came into the NBA, when he was drafted in 2007, he was quiet. He was one of those guys that, you know, not too many people talked about much because the Celtics were so poor that team. Well, they were so poor that year. But when they brought in Garnett, Allen, kept Pierce intact, you started to see more about him and his talents. You started to pay more attention to him. One thing I've noticed about him, he's got quite a personality right now. He is quite an interesting guy. And he's already voiced his displeasure for the Miami Heat. You can even say a lack of respect, really. And I think what he did was an act of showing that towards Miami. You think this is something now, wait until later on this year when these two teams are meeting each other again. Because they got three more regular season matchups, and most likely we're going to see these two teams in the Eastern Conference Finals yet again. And I say that because even though the Celtics are showing signs of slowing down a little bit, they drafted well. They brought in some younger players. They got Jason Terry as a free agent. I think because of Chicago not having D. Rose for a while, Indiana not having Danny Granger for a while, Amar'e Stoudemire being out for New York, and Orlando off the map, Philadelphia not having Andrew Bynum back for a while. Miami should cruise along the Eastern Conference, but Boston will be right there on their heels, right there behind them. Other than that, I can't really see another team. I mean, Brooklyn, I think it's going to be the same situation as the Lakers because that team is going to try and find their rhythm a little bit. You know, with Gerald Wallace and Joe Johnson signing the big contracts that they signed, Deron Williams signing his ridiculous contract, obviously. We're going to see what's going to happen with this team. So this is going to be a team that's going to be underlooked. We'll see what they do. We'll see what they can accomplish this year. Atlanta, the Hawks, well, this is a team that a lot of people said, well, you know, they're in the Eastern Conference. They're one of those teams that's always going to be competing in the playoffs every year, but they're not one of those teams that's going to compete for a championship because they're not as good as Indiana or even Miami or Boston. They're not as good as those teams. But I will say that I think what has to happen for this team is they need to find their identity. It's one thing to sign players and bring them over to play for your team, but it's another to get them to gel together, get them to find their offensive groove. You know what I'm saying? You got to figure that out. So what will happen with this team, it'll be interesting to see. And that's going to be a team that's going to be very underlooked in the Eastern Conference. And as far as the Western Conference is concerned, everybody's talking to Lakers and Thunder. You can't forget the Spurs. As long as Greg Popovich is their coach, as long as they still got Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, they're always going to be competing. They're one of those teams you can't get rid of that easily. It's unfortunate, but they're a team that's going to be around at least for a little while longer. The Clippers, to me, again, they're going to be a dark horse team for many people in the Western Conference. Memphis, they're not going to go down without a fight. They'll be back. You also have to include Denver into the equation. Denver, they're going to get a little bit better. I think Iguodala is going to really help their team. This is a team that can score, flat out. They can score. They were one of the top scoring teams last year. So as far as I'm concerned, when you're one of the top scoring teams in the league, you have every right to be included as a playoff contender. And they're going to keep Ty Lawson around for a while. They got that contract situation worked out with him. Good for them. Good for him, too, because he's flowing. He is flowing with that team. I've watched him play at North Carolina. I've always thought that he was just such a brilliant point guard and a great ball distributor. He's carried that over into the NBA. So good for him. I think another team in the Western Conference that is ready to take that next big step is the Golden State Warriors. I think with all that talent they have, they should be a team that you think, okay, let's see what they're going to do. What can they accomplish? Because I think Dallas is going to take a little bit of a step back with Dirk being out, Chris Kamen being injured. I know they were able to win last night, but let's be honest. They took advantage of a Lakers team that's struggling to find their identity a little bit. It's early in the season. And any team probably would have taken advantage of that situation. Now, the Mavericks, they don't have Jason Terry no more. So they still got Sean Marion. They brought in Elton Brand. They also got some other younger players on the team. But without Dirk, I don't expect Dallas to be a championship contender. They'll be a team that's lucky to get into the postseason. And when they do, they're one and done, period. I also think that with a lot of these injuries to some of these players, you're going to see other teams that are under the radar and even way under the radar step in and kind of putting their foot down and wanting to establish themselves as an elite team and a team that can win games and a team that can go to the postseason and try and make some noise. So you got to take that into consideration as well and understand exactly what's going on. But, again, we'll see what happens. Another guy, that's another big name that's hurt right now, Kevin Love, you know, with his broken hand. He's going to be out for a while. So it's unfortunate. And like I said, the Nets and Knicks opener in Brooklyn tonight has been postponed due to the storm, the devastating storm that swept through the entire state of New York. And again, my thoughts and prayers go out to all the victims, to everybody who lost something or even everybody who lost someone in those storms. My thoughts and prayers go out to you guys. I'm praying for every single one of you that you guys bounce back and bounce back as soon as you possibly can. I think about what New Orleans, the state of Louisiana, was able to do after Hurricane Katrina, Hawaii after the tsunamis, and what Japan is doing now after their storms. So everything will be just fine. I'm pulling for you guys, and I'll be praying that things are better. But the Nets and Knicks game has been postponed officially tonight. The subways, everything has been shut down. They shut down the subway, so that tells you something right there. Is the Barclays Center, it sits right above a major mass transit hub, which is a good destination for fans throughout New York. Apparently not right now, however. Basically, this stadium sits above the Atlantic Avenue subway station complex, which hosts 9 subway lines and a Long Island Railroad station. And it was expanded as part of a $1 billion arena's construction. So by getting the stadium there, the Nets felt like this would be a major selling point in drawing fans to the games that they were plagued by poor attendance during their years in New Jersey. They always had trouble selling games out, even when they were a team going to the finals and going to the postseason every year. Darren Williams, he was looking forward to playing tonight. He already expressed his displeasure and disappointment for not being able to participate in playing tonight. The city is going to work with the league to provide extra buses to Saturday's game. So right now, the Knicks are scheduled to open their season at home Friday night against Miami. So we'll see what the league does about that. If the Nets are expected to host the Toronto Raptors on Saturday night. So that'll be their first home opener as of right now. If that's something changes, if anything can. Basically, according to reports from Yahoo, Michael Bloomberg, he's basically saying that the city will work with the league to provide extra buses to Saturday's game in case the subways are still down for the count. Brett Yormark, the Nets CEO, said in a statement that there will be food and beverages specials starting at 5:30 p.m. Good for them. I think that's phenomenal. I think that's the right thing to do. Basically, Bloomberg, the mayor, he's taking precautions in this whole situation, so basically, the usual NBA policy on the status of the game is to play it if both teams and the 3 officials can make it to the arena the night of the game. That would not have been a problem. One of the reasons the league originally planned to play a schedule. They were going to go through with this game tonight, but they didn't want to take a chance. However, the league also wanted to be sensitive because it was the Brooklyn Nets' first game, televised to a national TV audience on TNT, and they didn't want the team's big event to be the one that was largely empty because of the lack of selling out crowds and trying to get fans to come to the game. So they didn't want to take chances in that particular situation, and I think they did the right thing by canceling this game tonight and postponing it for another day. Now, the Nets are still practicing in New Jersey as far as this season is concerned, but They did move practice to the Barclays Center after their facility in East Rutherford, New Jersey, suffered damage from the storm. And apparently they're going to be practicing at their stadium right now, too, at least for the time being anyway. So they're still working with the league. The Nets are to find an actual makeup date. Tickets for tomorrow night's game will be honored for the rescheduled game. So if you're a fan, if you purchase tickets to the game, you'll be able to go back to that game whenever that game is set, whenever night that game is going to take place at. Going back to the Heat and Celtics game, I meant to put this out there, but LeBron James only played in 29 minutes. 29 minutes. Okay. And with leg problems, that usually becomes a problem for certain athletes. Now, according to ESPN, in an interview that he had with Mike Wilbon, he said that he had 9 days off throughout the summer from going deep into the playoffs to playing for the Olympic team and winning a gold medal. He didn't have a lot of time to himself at all this year up to this point. So my thing is, he's tired. Now, keep in mind, Dwayne Wade had, I believe it was leg or ankle surgery. And he had tired legs, too. He didn't even take part in the Olympic team because of that. So despite that, it's a little bit of a scare. But hopefully for the Heat fans' sake, that, you know, that your guys are going to be fine, period. And hopefully things will be all right. Hopefully things will be okay with them. And, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Well, the time is after 8:35. We're taking calls, 347-327-9586. Thank you guys for continuing to support the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Rocket thanks you as well. He's got quite a fan base, and he's happy to have your support and to have your acknowledgement and to have the love of everybody who continues to support him through thick and thin. So thank you. Thank you guys so much, deeply. It's honorable and just thankful, just very, very thankful. I want to go back to updating some scores real quickly. The Nuggets and 76ers, Philadelphia is up 55-44 in the third quarter. The Rockets are up 53-46 over the Detroit Pistons. That game is going to be closing in at the end of the first half. Indiana is down to Toronto in Toronto, 56-53. That game is in the third quarter. And surprisingly, New Orleans is up 31-28 at the end of the first quarter over the San Antonio Spurs. And keep in mind, again, the Sacramento Kings also, real quickly, the Sacramento Kings are up 22-18 over the Chicago Bulls. That game is coming to the end in the first quarter. And keep in mind, we also got other games, Dallas and Utah, Memphis and the Clippers, Golden State and Phoenix, and the Lakers and the Trailblazers. Those games will be airing later this evening. The Dallas and Utah game will air at 9 o'clock. All the other games will end at will air at 10 and 10:30 this evening. All those games are played along the West Coast, by the way. So I'm looking at some of these scores right now, and I'm seeing how it's already competitiveness. Indiana, they're playing without Granger. So that's the storyline in that game. New Orleans and San Antonio, basically the storyline with that is the debut of Anthony Davis. Houston and Detroit, the debuts of Jeremy Lin and James Harden as Houston Rockets players. Sacramento and Chicago, basically Chicago, if you're the Bulls, you're without Derrick Rose. So there's a lot of storylines with a lot of these big-name players that are hurt. Some teams are going to use that to their advantage, and they should. Sometimes the best way to attack a fox is when it's down. I mean, you can't feel sorry for an opponent. You got to beat them, you know, with whoever they bring out. It's as simple as that. So I think that in most teams' cases, you just have to get after your opponent the best way you can and do what you can to push yourself and to be the best that you can be. Now, tonight is Halloween. We also got some games. We got a couple games tomorrow. Actually, right now, we only got one game tomorrow, and that's OKC in San Antonio. That'll be the rematch of the Western Conference Finals in this past season. Also, that game will be taking place 9:30 on TNT, so that'll be a national televised game. You'll get a chance to see that game. November the 2nd, which will be on Friday, we got a handful of games, a handful. Some of these teams will be playing for the first time. The Charlotte Bobcats, they'll be hosting the Indiana Pacers. Orlando will be playing for the first time, and they'll be playing for the first time without Dwight Howard. They'll be hosting Denver. Cleveland will be playing again. They'll be hosting Chicago. Atlanta will be playing for the first time. They'll be hosting Houston. Milwaukee will be playing for the first time. They're going to be going up against a ticked-off Boston Celtics team. Utah and New Orleans will face off. Portland and OKC will face off. Miami and New York, that's subject to change. They'll be facing off. That game will be at 8 o'clock. Sacramento will be hosting Minnesota. Be playing Minnesota. Minnesota will be playing for the first time this season, and they'll be playing without Kevin Love. Pistons will travel to Phoenix, take on the Suns. Memphis will go up against Golden State, and we will have the Battle of the Bays, the Clippers and the Lakers, and that will be a phenomenal game. Yes, it will. That will be a very, very, very phenomenal game. I'm anxious to see what the new-look Clippers are going to look like with some of the players that they brought in and some of the acquisitions that they made. And, again, what is Blake Griffin going to do? Can he elevate his game? Can he get better? Can he be better? What will he do? And how far has he come? So that's also another thing that you got to take into consideration. And what will this team do? For the Lakers, what will they do by the time that game gets here? Will they be 0-2? Will they be 1-1? We will find out on Friday when that game airs. And that game will be at 10:30, live from the Staples Center. So, oh, yes. Oh, yes, Lakers, I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to at least get to the conference finals this year. I think by next year, and hopefully the Lakers will work out an extension contract with Dwight Howard if they haven't done it yet. I seriously hope that this team finds a way to overcome the adversity that they need to overcome. I think what has to happen is they have to have better chemistry. And you're going to see that throughout the course of the season. But I think the Lakers and Thunder will face off in the conference finals. That can change. You never know. But I think that's the way it's going to look like right now. So, but like I said, anything can change. And one thing that we've learned about the NBA, it's not always automatic. Did anybody expect the Mavericks to sweep the Lakers a couple years ago and then go to the same finals that postseason and beat Miami? Did anybody expect that to happen? No. Nobody expected that to happen. Nobody even had Dallas as a team that was going to go and compete for the finals. I didn't, so you got to tip your hat off to them. You certainly have to appreciate what they've been doing. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. So, again, congratulations to the NBA season. And another note to pass along, well, this should make a lot of people happy. David Stern this past week has announced that he officially stepped down in February of 2014. At that point will mark 30 years of him being the NBA's commissioner. Now, over the years, I would say the past 10, 15 years, a lot of people have labeled him as a bad guy, as a guy that, you know, is just a guy that should be faulted for a lot of bad things that have happened in the NBA, and rightfully so. He does deserve that. But you cannot forget what he's done in the early days, drawing big markets, getting national televised NBA games, and being there when guys like Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, when those guys were all drafted, Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, Scottie Pippen, all the bad boys from the Pistons, Magic Johnson, he was there. He was there. And now the NBA has changed up the flopping rule, and thank God, I am so happy they did that. What took them so long, I don't understand. They should have done this already. But anyway, basically the flopping rule is going to work where after 6 or 7 violations, basically the first time you flop, you're going to get at least a fine of a certain amount of money. Once you work your way up to 6 violations, you get suspended. So it's kind of like having a certain, you know, like the whole technical foul situation. You get a certain amount, you get suspended for a game. So let's see who's going to be flopping this year. Anderson Varejao, Shane Battier, Derek Fisher. You guys are going to be watched at a lot this year. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, most definitely. Now, as an anti-David Stern fan, I respect what he has innovated for the game, but it's hard to like the guy because of some of the bad things that have happened in the league over the years. It's a shame, but what can you do? What can you do? But people will forget that he is a guy that has opened up some things for the game. He certainly made the game better, made it more watchable. So you can't take that away from the guy. It's unfortunate, but, you know, a lot of people will be happy to see him be gone, including me. I'm one of those guys. Again, I want to update real quickly. Philadelphia is now up 61-52 late in the third quarter over Denver. Toronto is up 64-55 over Indiana. That game is also late in the third quarter. Houston is actually, the Pistons have now taken the lead for the moment. They're up 56-55 over Houston with less than a minute to play in the first half. San Antonio is down 35-32 in New Orleans. That game starting early in the second quarter. Chicago is up 25-23 over Sacramento at the end of the first quarter. And keep in mind, we got Dallas and Utah at 9 o'clock East, at 9 o'clock. Golden State and Phoenix at 10 p.m. Memphis and the Clippers and the Lakers in Portland. Those two games will air at 10:30. But I look at some of these players that are going to be making their debuts. Some of these rookies doing their thing. I want to say good luck to all the rookies who were drafted this year. Me being a Pistons fan, diehard as always, I was so happy when Andre Drummond fell into their lap. I was shocked when Golden State and Toronto passed him on. I felt like those two teams needed a big man more than the Pistons did. But look at what they did. The guy showed such great talent throughout the preseason, especially on the defensive side. This guy is going to be such a good presence, and I enjoyed watching him play, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of him, period. And I can't wait to see other things that he's going to do and other tricks that he has up his sleeve. So we will see what he's going to do. We will see what he's going to do. So, again, keep doing what you do. Big fella, 6'11", 270 pounds. Keep doing your thing, big fella. I'm watching you, and I will continue to watch you and support you. The guy's got a good head on his shoulders. He's a hard worker. He's got good chemistry with his teammates. He's doing his thing. He's doing what he needs to be doing. So take that into consideration. You have to enjoy who you are, what you do, and play the game to the best of your abilities. It's as simple as that. I also want to say congratulations to former great Reggie Miller for being inducted into the NBA 2012 Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. Congratulations to him. That's a big accomplishment to have. Reggie Miller has been such a great clutch shooter and arguably the best three-point shooter of all time. You can put him up there with Larry Bird and Ray Allen. You can certainly talk about those three guys. Dragan Petrovic, he was also a great three-point shooter. You can't take that away from those guys. Those guys were some of the best three-point shooters ever, by far. And, again, congratulations to Reggie Miller. I think that he was one of the greats. I didn't always enjoy watching him because I was a Pistons fan, and when the Pacers and Pistons went up against each other in the playoffs, Reggie Miller's final game was against Detroit. And at that time, it was a passing of the torch from him to Richard Rip Hamilton, who's no longer with the Pistons now. He's with the Chicago Bulls. But for that while, there was a passing of the torch those few years during a Pistons and Pacers rivalry. Now, I also remember Reggie Miller being known for other things as well. He had some very, very stellar performances against the Knicks during those postseasons in the 90s when the Pacers and Knicks used to really, really go at it. And he was best known as having a choke sign to Spike Lee and talking trash. And Reggie Miller was one of those guys that he'll jaw with you. He'll jaw with you. But he was such a colorful character. He was great for the game. The game will miss him. I enjoyed watching him shoot. He was such a great shooter. And that will be missed, definitely. But one of my favorite Reggie Miller moments was actually something that happened to him. It was against the Pistons. It was game two of the 2004 Eastern Conference Finals. Now, Reggie Miller came off a clutch performance in game one, which he hit a big three-point shot. He only scored 3 points in that game. Game two, the Pacers had stole that game one, but in game two, Reggie scored 21 points. Should have had maybe 23 or 24, but got blocked from behind by Tayshaun Prince. And I remember him saying on the episode of Open Court, which you can watch on NBA TV, Channel 216 for DirecTV, he said, "Tayshaun was 5 steps behind me. I have this in the bag." That's what I was thinking. And the next thing you know, you're being taught to take a picture, you know, when you're taking that picture for posters or whatever, and you go for a layup instead of a dunk. If I'm Reggie Miller, I would have went for a dunk on that play. Seriously, I would have went for a dunk on that play just for the simple fact that he's 6'7". He should have dunked the ball. He could have gotten fouled, and next thing you know, he goes to the free throw line, makes the free throw. And who knows, we'd probably be talking about a different series. To me, that play changed the complexion of the matchup between those two teams, period. And if you think about it, if Indiana had gone up 2-0, who knows what would have happened? Who knows what would have happened? So I want to say again, congratulations to Reggie Miller for being inducted into the Hall of Fame. I also want to say as well, congratulations to all the Hall of Fame guys who went to Hall of Fame for their respective sports this year. I just think that it's wonderful for the game to see such great players, great coaches, great entrepreneurs be appreciated for the things that they've done. So keep up the great work and keep doing what you guys are doing. And as a fan, I'm proud of you, every single one of you. I want to take the time to update the scores again. Sixers are taking care of business. They just increased their lead a little bit. They're up 65-52. That game is going into the fourth quarter now. They're up over the Denver Nuggets. Toronto is up 67-59. That game is closing towards the end of the third quarter. They're up over Indiana. Houston, Detroit, that game is now officially at halftime. Detroit is up 58-55. James Harden already has 19 points for Houston. Already. He's got 19 points, 3 rebounds, and 5 assists. Going back to that Denver-Philadelphia game real quickly, Andre Iguodala has 9 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists against his former team. In the Indiana-Toronto game, Kyle Lowry for Toronto has 15 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists. Roy Hibbert, who, if you're the Pacers brass, you should be thankful that they were able to work out a contract with him. But anyway, he's got 14 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists. San Antonio is down to New Orleans, 42-35. That game apparently is at halftime right now. Tim Duncan has 10 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists for San Antonio. Sacramento is down to Chicago, 25-29. That game is in the second quarter. Tyreek Evans has 11 points, 1 rebound, and 2 assists. Joakim Noah, 6 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist. And we already got the other games coming up later this evening. I want to look into the San Antonio New Orleans Hornets game. Basically, New Orleans is up 42-35. It looks like the game is at halftime, and I think it's funny because San Antonio only scored 7 points in the second quarter. In fact, New Orleans outscored them 11-7, which is kind of odd, unbelievable. Anthony Davis was making his debut. He has 11 points in 12 minutes, about 12 and a half minutes. He's shooting 4-6 from the field, 3-for-3 on his free throws. He's got 4 rebounds, and including 1 on the offensive board. So he's looking pretty good, making his debut. Tony Parker has 12 points for San Antonio. He's leading them in scoring right now. He's got an assist. I think that this could be the final year that we see San Antonio make their championship run. A lot of people thought it was 2 years ago. A lot of people thought it was this year. A lot of people, including me, are going to think it's this year. And most of us are probably going to think it's next year. But I really think that the Spurs, because of their age and with those other teams catching up, L.A., OKC, Memphis, the Clippers, the Lakers again, it's going to be hard for that veteran team to maintain their position as being an elite franchise. But like I said earlier, as long as Greg Popovich is the head coach, and as long as they keep some of the other players, Duncan, Parker, and Ginobili intact, along with some of the other younger players they got, they should be fine. But this is going to be a long season. The NBA is back. We are back. Rocket is back. And thank you, guys. We're just about wrapping up now. The Rocket Sports Breakdown, it felt good to be back after being away for a month. I would like to say thank you guys to everybody who has been supporting me. Thank you guys to everyone who has just encouraged me on so many levels. I cannot thank you guys enough. So many of you out there are inspiring me, and I'm happy. I'm happy. So I want to say God bless you all. Thank you so much for everything that you've done. To all my co-networkers, co-performers, co-entrepreneurs, co-business owners, keep doing what you do. You guys are doing fantastic work. I'm keeping tabs on a lot of you out there, so keep up the excellence. To my good friend, Mr. Dell Banks, who is the writer, producer, and director of Stage Play Shady, which I had the pleasure of being a part of, 2 shows, by the way. Thank you, my friend, for your contributions and just for being you. God bless you. Much love to you and yours. To my castmates, for Love Has a Mind of Its Own, the Goblin Lady, may God bless you all. Keep doing your thing. Stay safe. Keep up the excellence. I want to take the opportunity to say real quickly, again, prayers and blessings go out to everybody along the East Coast that had issues with the storm. You guys stay safe. And again, happy Halloween to all you trick-or-treaters out there. You all stay safe, too. Be safe and protect yourselves. Next week, we'll be back at it again. More NBA, more NFL, and hopefully some NHL news. So who knows? The NHL season may kick off. Well, ain't nothing wrong with dreaming. But anyway, we'll be back next Wednesday, same time, 7 p.m. You can catch Rocket on Facebook. Again, thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. I love you all. Take care of yourselves and each other. I'll see you guys next week. Rocket Nation, this is Rocket signing off. Get ready for a power trip.